turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We're going to start a series tonight. Should be about 8 weeks. We're going to look at the offices of Jesus Christ in the Scripture. I've identified at least 8 of them that we're going to look at specifically. Maybe as we're going through the series, if there's one I miss or one that, I mean, it depends how you, you know, what you view as an office or as a position that Christ holds. You know, you could get different numbers depending on how you would view that and how you would number them. But there's 8 that we're going to look at. We're going to start with, I guess, kind of the big 3 that people always think of when you think of the offices of Christ. He's a prophet, priest, and a king. And we're going to look at those 3 the first 3 weeks. But he's also the head of the church, the body of Christ. He's also the judge. There are other offices and positions and titles that Jesus Christ holds in the Scripture. Some of those titles are sort of universal, if you will, and anytime Christ is talked about, he can be talked about in those terms. Some of those titles relate specifically to his relationship to either the nation Israel or his relationship to the body of Christ. So when you're looking at the titles and the offices and the positions that Christ holds, it's sometimes important to understand, are you talking about Christ according to prophecy, or talking about Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? Now, tonight we're going to talk about Jesus Christ as a prophet, and so that certainly has its most impact on the prophecy part of Scripture, but also Jesus Christ, a prophet, as it relates to the church, the body of Christ, in some ways also. The passage we're going to start with here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of my brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have of looking to your word this evening and studying it together. And as we do so, we pray that the things said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and would edify the saints that are gathered. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, as I said, we're going to start looking at these offices of Christ. The first office tonight is the office of prophet. If you look at the words that are translated prophet, whether it's the Hebrew words in the Old Testament or the Greek words in the New Testament, they really have the same meaning. They are a foreteller or an inspired speaker. Sometimes we think of prophet as being somebody that tells the future. You know, I'm going to prophesy about the future, prophesy about what's coming, make a prediction about something, you know, Gene Dixon kind of prophecy. But that's not necessarily the case. It simply means someone that is an inspired speaker. So anyone that is speaking under inspiration is considered to be a prophet. Now we're going to see tonight that sometimes those prophets speak under the inspiration of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes those prophets can speak under the inspiration of some false spirit, and in that case they are a false prophet. So there's both of those kind of prophets in the Scripture. But in either case, a prophet is someone that speaks under inspiration. That's not necessarily speaking their own words. That's not speaking something that comes from their own intellect or their own understanding, but is speaking something that comes from some other source. And they're representing that other source. So a prophet is being inspired by some other source to speak. If you turn back to the book of Exodus, there's a real good example here in Exodus of what a prophet is. And we'll just go through this illustration because it illustrates what a prophet of God is, because here Moses is going to be a prophet of God, but Aaron also is going to be a prophet of Moses. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10. Exodus 4 and verse 10. Did I say Exodus 10?
No.
Oh, good. Because that's where I turned, Exodus 10. So I just let me, that's what I said. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Exodus 4:10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. He shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So here you see that Aaron is going to be the prophet, as it were, for Moses. He will be your mouth. You shall be to him as God. I'm giving you information, Moses. So I'm God giving information to you. That information is going to be passed on to Aaron, who's going to speak it forth. You will be to him as God. You will be the source of the information. He'll be the one that speaks it out. He'll be your prophet. If you look down in chapter 7, in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. So the relationship between Aaron and Moses there is the relationship between God and a prophet. And if you go back to chapter 4, that relationship is that you're going to speak the words. He shall be as your mouth, and you will be to him as God. So that's a good definition and a good illustration to show you what a prophet is. A prophet is someone that functions as the mouth of God. God is putting the words there. God is giving the information. God is inspiring the information. The prophet is speaking forth that information. Now, oftentimes, and just to kind of draw a little fine distinction here, we talk about, and we've been doing a series on the TV broadcast the past few months, about inspiration. There is a distinction between a prophet and someone that is inspired, and the difference between that is in the writing down of the prophecy. A prophet may come and prophesy to the nation Israel and speak those words that are the words of the Lord. A New Testament prophet, the gift of prophecy, may come and speak the words of the Lord, but only some of those prophets write those words down. Jeremiah wrote, of course, Ezekiel wrote, you know, Obadiah, the Old Testament prophets, they wrote those words down. Paul is a New Testament prophet that wrote the words down. But there were other prophets that just spoke. So there's a distinction in Scripture. A prophet is one that receives information and speaks it forth. You shall be as my mouth. So you are, Aaron, you're my mouth. You're the mouth of Moses. You're going to speak forth that word. Sometimes a prophet not only spoke it forth, but wrote it down. That becomes the process of inspiration. If you remember when we went through the whole process of the production of the Bible, the first issue is revelation. That's God revealing truth to man. The second step is inspiration. That's taking that truth and writing it down. So revelation, all prophets got revelation. That is, all prophets received information from the Lord and spoke it forth. Some prophets also wrote down that information. It was inspired and put on a page. So there is that distinction. So all Bible writers are prophets in that they're receiving information from God, but not all prophets become writers of the Bible, writers of the Scripture. So that's just a distinction, because when you talk about inspiration, that writing down of the word becomes important. Let's just look at some verses. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, that sort of define for us and explain and show us exactly what it is that a prophet is and what it is that a prophet does. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. Acts 28 and verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Notice verse 25 there. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet. Remember the illustration back there in the book of Exodus? He shall be to you as a mouth. Who was the Holy Spirit's mouth in this verse? Well, his mouth was Isaiah. That's the Greek spelling for Isaiah. So Isaiah is the mouth of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the originator of the information, but Isaiah spoke. The Holy Ghost spoke by Isaiah. back to chapter 1 of the book of Acts and verse 16. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Notice there again, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. He shall be to you as your mouth. So the mouth of the Holy Spirit, how is the Holy Ghost speaking? He's speaking through the mouth of David. The Holy Ghost is using these men, using David, using Isaiah to speak his word. That defines what a prophet is. Information coming from another source through you, through your mouth, and you become the prophet. Even if that other source is Moses and you're Aaron, you are the prophet of Moses. Moses is to you as God. Look at a comparison here. Hebrews chapter 10 and Jeremiah chapter 31. Hebrews chapter 10 and Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, in Hebrews, you're going to see the writer of Hebrews quote Jeremiah chapter 31 here, a passage that we look at often to illustrate the new covenant that God made with Israel. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 33. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he goes on and talks about that covenant that he's going to make with Israel. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. If you notice back now to Hebrews chapter 10, look at Hebrews 10 verse 15, where that covenant and that passage that we just read in Jeremiah is referred to, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put their law in their hearts and their minds, will I write them in their sins, iniquities will I remember no more, where there is remission of these, there is no more offering for sin. Notice verse 15 of Hebrews 10, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness after he had said, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days. Well, he really said it. How did the Holy Ghost say it? Well, he said it through the prophet. He said it through Jeremiah. The writer of Hebrews says, hey, the Holy Ghost said that. Well, the Holy Ghost didn't really say it. The Holy Ghost didn't speak it verbally so that anybody could hear it. Jeremiah spoke it. Jeremiah actually ended up writing it also so that we can read it. The point is that the Holy Ghost is the originator. Jeremiah is the mouth through whom he spoke. Since we're in Jeremiah, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. There's a good illustration here in Jeremiah chapter 1 of the words being placed in the prophet's mouth. And this whole study about Jesus Christ as the prophet, you know, as you can see, does relate to the idea of Scripture being inspired too. Just as the words are given to the prophet, those words end up being written down, becomes the words of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So if you, there's another good passage to define prophet. If you look to up to verse 4, he says, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then in verse 9, what does that mean? Well, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So what does it mean for Jeremiah to be a prophet? Well, it means God has put his words in his mouth. So Jeremiah is a prophet to the nations because God put his words in his mouth. The book of Ezekiel. Very well, Lamentations comes in there too. But Ezekiel, the next prophet, the next writing prophet in your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 3, same kind of a thing with Ezekiel here. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. So whose words? Well, it's God's words. Whose mouth? Ezekiel's mouth. God's words in Ezekiel's mouth. Down in verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words shall I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So here's the words, I'll speak, you receive them in your heart, you receive them in your ears, and you go speak with my words. There are times in Scripture, you go back to the book of Numbers, when the prophet didn't even necessarily want to prophesy what God, what they ended up prophesying. This illustration of Balaam and Balak here, is one that's oftentimes used just to illustrate that the words are not at all under the control of the prophet, that the words don't at all originate with the prophet, that they originate with God. Numbers 22, verse 1, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at this time. He sent messengers therefore to Balaam the son of Peor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, and we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So Balak sends to Balaam, the son of Beor, and he says, I've heard that if you curse somebody, they'll be cursed, and if you bless somebody, they'll be blessed, and I want you to prophesy, I want you to speak over this nation Israel, and I want you to curse them so that I'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. If you look over to chapter 23, you see what Balaam ends up doing, and of course, if you know the account, you know that he doesn't end up doing at all what Balak had in mind for him to do. In verse 5, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done to me? I told thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Now, the two key verses are the first one and the last one that we read. Verse 5, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. And verse 12, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? There really was no choice for Balaam. This is what God put in his mouth. He's a prophet. A prophet doesn't speak his own information. If he does, in fact, that's one of the definitions of a false prophet that we'll see in just a few minutes. If he speaks from his own heart, from his own mind, from his own understanding, he's a false prophet, not of the Lord. But a prophet of the Lord, as Balaam is going to be here, turns out to be, didn't start out to be, but turned out to be, is speaking the word that God put in his mouth. And in verse 12, that's all I can do, is speak the word God put in my mouth. Turn over to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3. In Amos chapter 3, let's carry on a little bit with this idea that the prophets oftentimes had no choice in the matter, that they are speaking the words that God gave them, and if it's good news, it's good news, and if it's bad news, it's bad news. You've heard the saying, you know, don't kill the messenger or don't kill the prophet. Well, that's the idea here. I'm just a guy delivering a message, and if you don't like the message, I'm sorry about that. You have to see the guy that gave the message. And that's, in many cases, the way the prophets were. And if you look at the history of prophets in the nation Israel, a lot of times they're bringing bad news to that nation, and they're persecuted for it, and they're condemned for it, and they suffer greatly for it, because people are condemning the prophet for the message that the prophet brings, even though the prophet really has little choice in the matter. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? The Lord has spoken to the prophets. You know, Amos says, who can but prophesy? If the Lord says, go say this, then guess what? You're going to go say that. Jeremiah says this, a similar kind of thing, back in Jeremiah chapter 20. Let's go back there. And of course, you see that all these, thus far, these illustrations we've looked at are Old Testament prophets. And most particularly, Jesus Christ is going to, that office of prophet that he has, is going to relate to Israel and to his ministry to them, and to the fact that he comes as a messenger from the Lord. But there's a sense in which he speaks to the body of Christ that way. You know, it's a little different, but we'll talk about that just to get that part of our discussion. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 7. Jeremiah 20 and verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So here's you know, a prophet getting persecuted for the message. He says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his... That's it, I'm done. I'm just going to say anything more, I'm finished. Well, the thing is, verse 9, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. See, it scared me. The prophet says, I didn't want to say it. I decided I'm not going to say it anymore. But, you know, the word of the Lord was in me as a fire shut up in my bones. And I just got tired trying to hold it in. So I finally just let it out. That's all that we've talked about so far are true prophets. There also are in Israel, of course, false prophets. Prophets that come are not prophesying God's truth, are not prophesying God's word, are not inspired by him to say something, but are inspired by devils to say something. Ezekiel chapter 13, we're going to come back here to Jeremiah too, but let's look to Ezekiel first. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 1. Ezekiel 13:1. false prophets. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, here's a false prophet, and here's a false prophet that really is not necessarily getting information from some other source, from a devil, from Satan, from a fallen angel, from whatever. This is a prophet, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, verse 2, that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. So this is just a guy that's making stuff up. Or, you know, maybe he legitimately thinks I got this message from the Lord. You know, we all have those experiences in the middle of the night. Oh, yeah, God, that's what you want me to do. Well, that's where this guy's getting this. It's just coming out of whole cloth. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. You're foolish if you follow your own spirit and you've seen nothing. You've seen nothing. You know nothing. You're just making this stuff up, but you're leading away my nation, my people. And he says, you are a foolish prophet if you follow your own spirit and if you've seen nothing, if you don't haven't received information from me. Back now in Jeremiah, he also talks about false prophets in the nation. Verse 13 of chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 13. Jeremiah 23 verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. There's prophets that are prophesying in the name of Baal, in the name of a false god. This isn't so much something just made up in their own spirit, in their own mind, as literally prophesying in the name of a false god. Verse 16 tells Israel how to respond to that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's the key. They're prophesying perhaps in the name of Baal, perhaps that comes out of their own heart, perhaps from some devil source, demonic source. The point is, it's not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's the key. Now, one thing we want to mention before we get into talking about Jesus Christ as that prophet is back in the book of Deuteronomy. Israel is instructed in the book of Deuteronomy how to deal with a false prophet. And a false prophet is going to be identified in the book of Deuteronomy by the message that he preaches. A prophet comes, and we're going to see when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to come doing two things. He's going to come preaching, prophesying, and he's going to come doing great works. Now, when a prophet comes prophesying and doing great works, people tend to believe him for the work's sake. In fact, Christ said, didn't he? Believe me for the very work's sake. But we're going to see that there's always the message in there also. And back here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, it's Deuteronomy 13, 1. A prophet or a dreamer of dreams giveth you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass wherever he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, nor that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of thee. So if this prophet comes, even if he can do a great miracle, you don't listen to him unless the message is true. Unless it's a message from Jehovah. If he tells you to go after other gods and serve them, don't you believe it. And this is a place in verse 3 where the Lord says his name. You know, we say all the time that when you see that word in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D in all capital letters, it's the name of God. It's the translation of Jehovah. And here's one of the places where God says in verse 3, Jehovah your God proveth you. Ye shall love Jehovah your God with all your soul. Ye shall walk after Jehovah your God and fear him and keep his commandments. It is Jehovah that you worship. So if this prophet comes and says, let us worship another God named Joe, we're not going to go worship him. Let's go worship another God named Baal. We're not going to worship him. Let's go worship another God named Allah. We're not going to worship him. Our God is Jehovah God, and that's the one we worship. And if the prophet comes and says, go somewhere else, you don't believe it. You don't go. You don't follow. And then you take that prophet out and you put him to death and you get that out of the nation. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18, since we're here in the passage we started with, let's start looking at Jesus Christ as a prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, 15. The Lord thy God, this is Moses. Moses, of course, acting here as a prophet. No doubt when this was spoken, it was spoken by Aaron, because Aaron is the mouthpiece for Moses. Moses is going to end up writing it down. It becomes a part of Scripture. The Lord thy God, verse 15, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So Moses says, God is going to raise up a prophet, one of your brethren, like unto me. And it's interesting that the prophet, priest, and king in Israel, the first prophet, priest, and king in Israel is Moses. Moses serves as a prophet. He's receiving the word of God. He serves as a king. He judges the nation for that time. He's the one that makes the decisions about what happens, what doesn't happen. And so he's the king. And he's also a priest. He intercedes for that nation before God on several occasions. When God says, I'm going to wipe them out, Moses goes, intercedes on their behalf, and the wrath of God is assuaged. So Moses serves as a prophet, priest, and king. And he says, God's going to raise up another prophet like unto me of your brethren, and you need to hear him. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 3, that prophet is pretty clearly identified for you as being Jesus Christ. And if you notice in your King James Bible, that word prophet there in Deuteronomy chapter 18 is capitalized. He'll raise up to you a prophet, capital P. So not just any old prophet, but a prophet that is capitalized, that is God, that is deity. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come to the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whosoever, whatsoever rather he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So this prophet that is raised up is Jesus Christ. He shall send Jesus Christ and forth speech unto you, the heavens receiving the time restitution of all things. Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. It's that one, that Jesus Christ, that is the prophet. And notice, a prophet shall he raise up to you. He's a prophet to the nation Israel. He's a prophet to that people, to his people. We quote the verse often, he came to his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1, verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. When John the Baptist comes on the scene, the nation is clearly expecting a prophet. John chapter 1, verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Are thou that prophet? Well, what prophet? Well, I mean, these are the scribes and the priests that send out with this question for him. They know the law. They know Deuteronomy 18. So they, John's out there baptizing. They're expecting somebody to come. They're expecting a Christ. They're expecting the Messiah. He says, I am not the Christ. So they come and say, are you Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. Well, are you Elias, Elijah? Now, why would they ask if he's Elijah?
Because Malachi said that he'll send Elijah before that great day.
Exactly. Elijah will come before that great and terrible day of the Lord. So are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Well, then, are you that prophet? No, I'm not that prophet. What prophet? Well, it's that Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise you up a prophet of your own brethren. He'll speak of me, and you need to hear him. Because if you don't hear him, you'll be destroyed. So it becomes important to know, are you that prophet? And John says, no, I'm not the prophet, but I come to bear witness. I come to bear record of that prophet. I come to prepare the way. In fact, if you go back to Matthew chapter 3, let's just look at it in Matthew's account, which is probably the more common one to look at with John's ministry. Verse 1, in those days came, this is chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. So he comes to prepare the way of the Lord. He comes in the Lord's stead, if you will, to prepare the way, to make his path straight. But I'm not that prophet. I'm not the one you seek. I'm the one that has come to prepare the way for the one that you seek. So Israel clearly was expecting a prophet. You know, are you the Christ? No. Are you Elias? No. Are you the prophet? No. I'm come to prepare the way for that prophet. I'm come to prepare the way for that Christ. And Israel acknowledged him as their prophet. Luke chapter 24. Let's turn over there. Luke chapter 24 and verse 19. Listen to what. Now this is after the death of Christ. And in fact after his resurrection. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember Jesus Christ is on the road to Emmaus. And the disciples see him. And don't realize who he is. Verse 19, how is Jesus Christ identified by these two disciples on the road to Emmaus? And he said unto them, this is Luke 24, 19, he said unto them, what things? Well, I guess we should, well, I guess the context isn't all that. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Of course, these two are sad because, you know, Christ has been crucified and they're talking about it, and you know, they're kind of down. And so Jesus Christ appears and says, "Well, what are you guys talking about?" They say, verse 18, one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Don't you know what just happened in Jerusalem? It was big doings in Jerusalem. We just had a crucifixion and, you know, the Messiah and all that. Verse 19, and he said unto them, "What things?" That is, what things have come to pass in Jerusalem? And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been that he should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done." So what's supposed to happen the third day? You tear down this temple, I'll build it up again in 3 days. Something's supposed to happen. So all of that is going on, but how they identify, verse 19, what things? They said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Jesus Christ came to that nation as a prophet. He is their Redeemer. He is their Christ. He is their, you know, all of that. But he came as a prophet. God is going to raise up to you a prophet, and he's going to come to you with a message. And you better take heed to that message, because whoever doesn't take heed to that message will be destroyed. That's the message of Moses back in Deuteronomy 18. That's the message that Peter repeats in Acts chapter 3. This man that you crucified with evil and wicked hands, he was that prophet, and you better take heed to the message that he had. Because that message was not his own. It was a message from God. And notice here in verse 19, he was a prophet mighty in deed and word. It's the words that he spoke and the deeds, the miracles, the signs, the wonders that he did. It's those two together. It's never just the miracle. Remember Deuteronomy 13, if he has a sign or a miracle and it comes to pass, but he sends you after another god, you reject him. It's never just the miracle, but it's the miracle married with the message that matched Israel's prophesied program. That's what made it true. Acts chapter 2, look at what Peter says as he stands up to preach on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." He was, verse 22, he was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. But not just that. He was approved by miracles and wonders and signs and by the message that he preached. If you look back in the Gospels, back in John, back to John 14, it is always the message plus the miracle. The miracle confirms the message, but the message must be true. The message must not send Israel after another god. The message must not send Israel after some other program. It's got to be a true message. John chapter 14, verse number 23. John 14, 23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. He that loveth me, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Couple things about that passage. It's not just the miracles, but it's the words. If you don't love the words that I speak, it's because you don't love my Father. If you love the words that I speak, you love my Father because the words are the ones of him that sent me. What is a prophet? A prophet is one that speaks words given to him by God. Not his own words, not his own. Even Jesus Christ, who was God, in his role as prophet, is not speaking his own words. He's speaking the words that the Father gave him. just as Aaron spoke the words that Moses gave him, Jeremiah spoke the words that God gave him, he's speaking the words that the Father gave him. Back in John chapter 8, he makes a statement about those words also. John chapter 8, verse 37. Christ says this to the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders in Israel. John 8, 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Then answered they and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word. You're the father of the devil. And that fulfills Isaiah's prophecy, seeing ye shall see and not understand, hearing ye shall hear and not understand. The heart of the people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. The point there in verse 43, you do not understand my speech because ye cannot hear my word. It doesn't mean they couldn't physically hear the word. It meant they didn't have ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Ears of faith that will believe. Where's the origin of all of that? I speak the words that the Father gave me. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. All that the Father has revealed to me, I've revealed to you. He's a prophet revealing the word of God, revealing the truth of God to that nation. Back to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, gives you this idea of his works and his message. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, so John is the forerunner, John the Baptist, pointing to the prophet, pointing to the Christ. John says, are you the guy? Are you the one, or is there somebody else? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Miracle signs and wonders. But that last one is important too. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoso shall not be offended in me. Now that term poor, you know, blessed are the poor in heart and all that. It's not talking about you don't have much money. It's talking about those that are spiritually needy, spiritually poor, and need that life of Christ. And, you know, that's a whole other topic. But the bottom line is, it's the work that he did, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and it's the message. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Those two things together identify Jesus Christ as the prophet of that nation. Now, that role is, he's the prophet, the priest, and the king. He does not serve as a prophet for the body of Christ for this reason. He's, who is it that spoke to Paul?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ did. But Jesus Christ is speaking to Paul. Jesus Christ is as, and is in fact, God. So who is the prophet for the church, the body of Christ?
Paul.
Paul is. Jesus is as God to Paul, who is the prophet. Paul, go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And this is why we say that Christ is not a prophet to the body of Christ, because A prophet is someone that's here on the earth speaking to you the word of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So who received the gospel by revelation? Paul did. Who did he receive it from? Jesus Christ. So Christ is God giving out the information. Paul is the one receiving that and speaking it forth. Paul serves as if you go back to the illustration, Aaron will be the mouth of Moses. Paul serves as the mouth of Jesus Christ, speaking forth the message of grace. So for the dispensation of grace, and there were other prophets in the early church. The only writing prophet, though, to the church, the body of Christ, is Paul. And he prophesies and writes that prophecy down that he receives directly from the ascended Christ. But the thing that makes Christ in that case not a prophet is that he's not the one here on earth speaking it out. He's from heaven giving that revelation to Paul, which he had received from the Father. So it is from the Father to Christ, so he is passing it on, but he's passing it on not here on the earth, but from heaven. So the direct prophet to the church, the body of Christ, is Paul, not Jesus Christ. That's part of his earth. We talk about the earthly ministry of Christ always. Part of that earthly ministry is being a prophet here on the earth, speaking forth God's word to mankind, specifically to the nation Israel. So Jesus Christ is a prophet. He's the prophet Israel looked for. It's one of the primary things that they looked for, that one that was to come. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me, one of your brethren. You better listen to him. Because if you don't listen to him, you'll be destroyed. And one of the first questions that was asked of John the Baptist is, are you that prophet? Well, no, I'm not, but he's on the way. So Jesus Christ, one of the offices, and an office that relates specifically to Israel, is that office of prophet. Now next week, we'll look at another one that relates specifically to Israel. You know, I said we do the big three first, prophet, priest, and king. So next week we'll talk about Jesus Christ as the priest, the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, whoever the heck that was. I'm not going to tell you because I'm not sure who Melchizedek was, but we'll talk about that next week, Christ being after the order of Melchizedek. Does anybody have a question about Jesus Christ as prophet and what it means for him to be the prophet and how that relates to Israel and not to us and all that? And like I said, if there is a title or an office that he has that you say, well, I wonder about how he serves in this office or what he does. You know, we can add that to the list of eight that I have. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his role as a prophet to Israel, but also has his role to the head of the church, the body of Christ. And we just pray that as we continue this study, that we'll gain a better understanding of Jesus Christ and who he is and how he relates both to his people Israel and to his people of grace, the church, the body of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.